May the Lord help us to commence with hymn number 480. Up to the fields where angels lie, and living waters gently roll, fain would my thoughts leap out and fly, but sin hangs heavy on my soul. Hymn 480.
Thank you.
May the Lord help us to read together from his holy word two portions. The first part of the Lamentations of Jeremiah, chapter 3, reading down to verse 36, and then the 23rd chapter of Job. The Lamentations of Jeremiah, chapter 3. I am the man that hath seen affliction by the rod of his wrath. He hath led me and brought me into darkness, but not into light. Surely against me is he turned. He turneth his hand against me all the day. My flesh and my skin hath he made old. He hath broken my bones. He hath builded against me and compassed me with gall and travel. He hath set me in dark places, as they that be dead of old. He hath hedged me about, that I cannot get out. He hath made my chain heavy. Also, when I cry and shout, he shutteth out my prayer. He hath enclosed my ways with hewn stone. He hath made my paths crooked. He was unto me as a bear lying in wait, and as a lion in secret places. He hath turned aside my ways and pulled me in pieces. He hath made me desolate. He hath bent his bow and set me as a mark for the arrow. He hath caused the arrows of his quiver to enter into my veins. I was a derision to all my people and their song all the day. He hath filled me with bitterness. He hath made me drunken with wormwood. He hath also broken my teeth with gravel stones. He hath covered me with ashes. And thou hast removed my soul far off from peace. I forgat prosperity. And I said, my strength and my hope is perished from the Lord. Remembering mine affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall, my soul hath them still in remembrance and is humbled in me. This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. He sitteth alone and keepeth silence, because he hath borne it upon him. He putteth his mouth in the dust, if so be there may be hope. He giveth his cheek to him that smiteth him. He is filled full with reproach. For the Lord will not cast off forever, But though he cause grief, yet will he have compassion according to the multitude of his mercies. For he doth not afflict willingly, nor grieve the children of men, to crush under his feet all the prisoners of the earth, to turn aside the right of a man before the face of the Most High, to subvert a man in his cause, the Lord approveth not. We'll leave that chapter and turn to Job chapter 23. The book of Job, chapter 23. Then Job answered and said, even today is my complaint bitter. My stroke is heavier than my groaning. Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat. I would order my cause before him and fill my mouth with arguments. I would know the words which he would answer me and understand what he would say unto me. Will he plead against me with his great power? No, but he would put strength in me. There the righteous might dispute with him, so should I be delivered for ever from my judge. Behold, I go forward, but he is not there, and backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, that I cannot see him. But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. My foot hath held his steps. His way have I kept and not declined. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. But he is in one mind, and who can turn him? And what his soul desireth, even that he doeth. For he performeth the thing that is appointed for me, and many such things are with him. Therefore am I troubled at his presence. When I consider, I am afraid of him. For God maketh my heart soft, and the Almighty troubleth me. Because I was not cut off before the darkness, neither hath he covered the darkness from my face. Amen. May the Lord bless his word to us and help Benji to pray.
Come unto thee. Lord, we have just read, oh, that I knew where I might find thee. Lord, is that the desire of each heart found here this day? Oh, Lord, may it be then that we come in as we have just sung, let me but see his lovely face. O Lord, do put these great desires in our heart to find thee a Saviour and a Redeemer. For Lord, thou knowest how each one of us comes, poor undone sinners. May we each be enabled to truly confess our sins before thee. And O Lord, may it truly be that heartfelt confession, that true desire to find true repentance, that which is a gift from thee. Lord, each one here in thy house this morning needs it. But, O Lord, do we know it? Oh, do work in each heart, every heart, Lord, this day, if it can be thy will. Apply thy word by the power of thy Holy Spirit, that there might be that good thing done in thy name. Lord, we can do nothing of ourselves, but oh, leave us not to rest there. May we truly be found pleading with thee, seeking thee. O Lord, and if thou dost put that strength in us to come unto thee. For Lord, we cannot come of ourselves. We turn and run away. We turn and go as far as we can, left to our nature. But Lord, quicken our souls. Draw us by thy power. Leave us not. O Lord, have mercy then on each this day. Oh, that there might be those that can truly praise thy name at the close of the day, that they truly may have worshipped thee in spirit and in truth. O Lord, do remember us now. Grant thy help. Grant thy presence. For Lord, we need it. Lord, thou knowest how each and every one has come into thy house. All things are known and open unto thee, the hearts of every one. O Lord, thou seest all things, and oh, how we tremble before thee. And oh, may we each be found looking unto Jesus. Oh, that thou wilt have compassion upon us this day, and bring us to know that interest in thy salvation, to know that we each have a precious Jesus, a Saviour. And Lord, that we each might then have that prospect before us of an eternal peace. May it be our great desire, our eyes are up unto thee. Lord, work within us each and give us each that truly soft heart. Lord, thou hast said, I will take away the stony heart and I will give you a heart of flesh. Lord, give us faith to take hold of these promises and to trust thee and look to thee for it. O Lord, remember us in mercy now. And Lord, as thou knowest each case, we pray that thou wilt cause thy word to be made suitable. Lord, that there might be that true application. Words of help, words of direction. O Lord, and if need be, those words of reproof. Lord, all is in thy hand. Oh, we do pray then that thou wilt use thy word and make it effectual. And Lord, we pray for thy servants as they come here week by week, service by service. Thou hast provided for us in much mercy. And Lord, we pray that thou wilt give that message to each one to bring. But oh, that thou wilt prepare the hearts to receive it. Lord, both is thy work. Lord, do then remember them each, and still cause thy servants to come. Thou hast this day laid thy affliction on thy servant we expected, and Lord, we mourn his absence. But oh, how we do desire that thou wilt grant him all needed help and strength, and if it can be that be thy will, that thou wilt raise him up once more, that thou wilt give him those healing mercies, even in his body. But Lord, we pray that thou wilt give him that word to rest upon. Oh, that he might truly be found with thee, resting in peace on thy word and thy will. For, O Lord, how we often rebel against thy will, yet we do pray that thou wilt give us each that true submission to what thou wilt have us do, to thy way. O Lord, and that thou wilt use these things to our eternal good. Have mercy still. And Lord, we pray that thou wilt raise up others to truly preach thy word, to bring forth a precious Jesus. Lord, that thy church here on earth might prosper and be raised up. O Lord, it is with thee. Do then and help us each to truly seek it. O that thou wilt put that fervent prayer in our hearts. O Lord, do then have mercy still. And Lord, we pray that thy word might be truly used in this house, that there might be those that can come and tell what thou hast done, what a Saviour they have found. Lord, how thy word has been made powerful in their hearts, brought them to see what sinners they are and what grace there is in that Saviour, Lord Jesus Christ. O Lord, thou alone canst forgive sins and make us right for eternity. Work then, Lord, leave us not. Oh, how we need thee, for how oft times we feel to be in that state that we have read of even this day, full of sin, unbelief, far offness from thee, cold, dead and hard. But Lord, we pray that thou wilt come over these things and enable us to see our all in thee. Oh, do remember us now. And Lord, we pray for our country. Lord, we know not how to describe things as they are. Wickedness abounding on every hand, growing worse day by day. But Lord, we do pray that thou wilt raise up those in our rulers that possess thy fear. Lord, thou canst do it. Oh, do enable us to truly believe that nothing is impossible with thee. Lord, even in these things in our country, and Lord, in our own hearts also. Oh, do help us each then to trust in thee. Come, increase our faith and remember us for good. We pray now that thou be with our brother, that thou wilt help him in reading those things preached in time past, and that thou wilt once more bring them to life. Cause them to truly be that word of truth in our hearts. O Lord, remember us each then now. Forgive us each all our sins, for thy great name's sake. Amen.
Hymn 543. Jesus is the way to God. Jesus is the way to bliss. In this way the church has trod, down from Adam's day to this. Hymn 543. I'll try and read to you a sermon preached by Mr. Popham. You will find the words of the text in Job chapter 23 and the third verse. Job chapter 23, verse 3. Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat. This is the language of a much tried child of God, upon whom the hand of God was laid, and whose case was entirely misunderstood by his friends. They misunderstood Job because they did not know God. They misunderstood God's character and his dealings with men. They thought that no upright man could suffer, and that Job was therefore a hypocrite. They taunted him and oppressed him. And opening this chapter, he says, "Even today is my complaint bitter. I have to complain respecting these friends. And I complain respecting my affliction, and especially I complain because I cannot get near God. My stroke, that is the stroke of God's hand, is heavier than my groaning." That is to say, my groaning cannot fully express the inward trial of my mind, and also the sore condition of my body. He sought relief. That is what every afflicted child of God does. He needs relief. The Holy Spirit teaches him that relief can come from no source but one. That is God. The more the Spirit teaches us, the more we are led into that truth, that there is relief nowhere in this world, in no creature, but only in God. This fixed the mind of Job. It fixes your minds, those of you who fear God. Oh, that, passing all creatures, I might find him, that I might come even to his seat. Faith knows that there is balm in Gilead, a good, never-failing physician there. She knows that the name of the Lord is in Jerusalem, which is above, and that his throne is there, and seeks wisdom to find the way to the city, to reach that blessed throne. This exclamation, "Oh, that I knew where I might find him," sets before us the urgency of Job's spirit. He could be content nowhere but in the presence of God. That is what the people of God find when they have him not, when they go forward and he is not there working with them, go backward and cannot see their signs and their tokens. On the left hand where he doth work, and on the right hand he hideth himself. Then there is this point. Real religion has this point. God. If I can find God, all will be well. There is an urgency in this. If you who know the Lord are in this condition, distressed, and cannot get near him to pour out your heart before him and receive some healing from him, then you are discontent, troubled, and moved by fervent desire. You read, or it may come to your heart or memory, "Oh, that I knew where I might find God, that I might come to his seat, that I might find that the Lord Jesus does still receive sinners and eat with them. Oh, that I might find that relief to my soul, that support under my trouble, that healing balm which he has applied to every sore of my soul." Is this description true of some of you, of your cases? You want God. There is nothing here, nothing in your circumstances, nothing in your positions as members of churches, nothing in providence that can be a substitute for God. You know I am speaking the truth. Nothing can take his place. Nothing can fill the soul with satisfaction. He is the desire of all nations. God does remove from us the supports which we covet in this life, in providence, in friends, that we may just come to this, entirely dependent on himself. And seeing in the gospel the great remedy for a sinner, then the desire is quickened and strengthened and made very urgent. "Oh, that I could find God, then I would pour out my heart before him." There is betimes such a longing for God that it makes the person who has it understand the language of the psalmist. "As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God as a thirsty land. When shall I come and appear before God?" There is, dear friends, such an experience as being near to God. "A people near unto me," is his word. Experimentally, it is understood by those who get this rich experience. The Spirit of Christ guides. "He shall glorify me. He shall guide you into all truth. He shall guide you unto the city. He shall guide you to the throne of grace. He shall show you that perfect offering of myself, whereby I put away sin. He shall show you that I am the new and living way." And then he shall speak to you in the exhortation, "Come boldly unto the throne of grace, that ye may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." That I might find him. No description just at the moment is given by Job of him. There is but one him in the universe to the people of God. Only one him. If we never find him, we shall never reach heaven. But if we find him, we shall find in him all that we need. There are striking and beautiful spiritual descriptions of him in Holy Scripture, and there is a glass in which he is seen. We all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord. The glory of Christ is seeable, knowable, and he is seen and he is known. We know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding, that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true. This is the true God and eternal life. When he is found, then all is straight before the soul. A straight way to the city that God has builded. A straight way through tribulation, not straight to reason, not pleasant to experience, but straight to faith. I would come before him. Crooked things are straight to faith. Rough places are plain to faith. And seeing him, the soul says, oh, if I could but approach him. What a mercy it is to believe that he is approachable, that the vilest sinner out of hell may come to him. Nay more, he draws his people. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. Now this first point then is of infinite importance to a living child of God. Job could see a straight way out of his trouble. I would order my cause before him. You may become silent to your friends. You may feel that you have none into whose ear you can pour your complaint but God. Certainly none to whom you can fully express your case. But if you see that there is a new and living way to God by which he can be approached, then Job's cry will be yours when you are not experiencing that presence. That I might come even to his seat. There is a seat. In Scripture, it is called the mercy seat. It is called the throne of grace. God said to Moses, respecting the mercy seat, I will meet with you there. Respecting the throne of grace, the apostle, by divine inspiration, says, let us come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. This blessed throne, this divine seat we have in the Scriptures, and every child of God has some manifestation of it to himself by the Holy Spirit. The suitableness of it, the approachableness of it, the blessedness of being there. God is there. Mercy in its fullness. Justice in its glory. Power in the Lord Jesus to forgive sin and support a sinner. At that seat, men of God see all these things. Oh, that I knew where I might find him. Did not Job know? Yes, he knew God's gracious power supporting his faith when all the disasters came to him which are recorded in the first and second chapters of this book. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. He knew God, had been near God, but now he was not near. Nor did he appear to know the way to him, or where God was. Where may I find him? Oh, that I knew where I might find God. This tells us that a child of God may lose the sweet, powerful sense of being near to God. He may enjoy the presence of God one day, and he may have such liberty as to tell his friends about that experience. And another day, he is so dark and distant from God that he wishes he had not spoken about him. And his inward cry is, "Oh, that I could find God." Let me say again to you what I said a minute or two ago. There is no substitute for God to a child of God. Were it possible to put the whole world into his hands and his pockets, he would say, "These are not my God." No food for a living soul in the world. No support under trouble in the world. But both food and support are in God in Christ. So this then becomes a real cry. But may he be found? Where is he? He may be found. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Where is he? Often in a pavilion of darkness, dark providences, dark exercises of mind, the presence of sin, unspeakable corruptions of nature. God may be in a pavilion of darkness in dealing with one whose sorrow is chiefly for sin, after the sorrow after an absent God. Where is he? On this blessed throne, he says, "Come boldly to him." This is not the throne of justice, pure justice alone. It is called the throne of grace, because grace and pure grace, grace in the Father, grace in the Son, grace in the Holy Ghost, grace in Jehovah is there. This is the throne. This is the place where he may be found. Oh, our ignorance is very great, and though we may have often found him, yet when we come into dark places again, then it is as if we had no wisdom to come to the city, no wisdom to get to the throne, just dark creatures. This tells us that we need, at every step and every turn, the Holy Spirit to prompt us when and how to pray, where to go, on whom to cast our burden. The Spirit of Christ is in the soul, making it his temple. But when he is vexed, then he goes away as to his operations, and there is no wisdom left. The wisdom of the world cannot come in here. After that the world by wisdom knew not God, God by the foolishness of preaching saves believers. God takes advantage of his designed purpose and accomplishment of his purpose to make men fools in their own judgment, so that they gladly follow, when they receive them, the leadings of the Holy Ghost. When you are led by the divine Spirit to the Lord Jesus, you say, I have found him whom my soul loveth. I was very blind. I should have remembered how the Lord dealt with me in the past, but I was very blind, and my memory was like a leaking vessel, a sieve, letting go through it everything I had got. And I do need the Lord to cause me to remember how I have heard and received. To find God is to find the pearl of great price. It is to see the gates of the city, each gate of one pearl. It is to see that the gates are open night and day, for there is no night there. It is to see that faith has a warrant to seek the Lord, a warrant to go and knock at the door that seems closed, a warrant to plead and argue with the Lord. Faith is a great grace. Now Job had this faith. It was the faith that believed God was findable. That may not seem much to some people, but it is a great thing to believe that God may be found by the worst of sinners, may be found by empty people, found by people who are covered with sores, whose sore runs in the night and ceases not. People who know that they behave foolishly without him and are only wise as he is pleased to give them wisdom. Ah, God will be sought unto. This is a truth that is deeply impressed on the heart by the Holy Spirit. We need him for everything that is good. Job needed him to be the physician. Oh, that he would come and heal me. He needed the fulfillment of the scripture. I am the Lord that healeth thee. Sick sinners, there is balm in Gilead. There is a physician there. He never fails to heal diseases when he takes them in hand. Typical of his spiritual mercy and efficacy was Christ's going about doing good and healing all that had need of healing. The whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. And sick souls that are led by the Holy Spirit to seek the good, the never-failing physician. That I may come. He permits it. Yea, more, he brings the soul to this seat, this mercy seat. He will bring his people not only with respect to their souls and their healing and their salvation and their establishment and their final and blessed end, dying in the Lord, but he will cause them to seek him for everything that they have to try them in this life. Yes, you will find this who fear God. You will be wanting him either to take a burden off or support you under it. One of these two things, when you find God, you will be after. You will be saying to him, I do not know how to bear this burden. If thou wilt not remove it, do sustain me under it. Keep me from rebelling against it. Help me to say, thy will be done. A good place, a safe place, a good experience issues when either the burden is taken off or the most comfortable sense of being supported is conveyed to you, when you can lie down in the will of God. Rutherford says, the will of God is a bed in a fire. You could lie down when you are under a fiery trial or when you are nearly crushed by a burden. Oh, one says, I did find him once. I was near him once. Oh, that I might come again. The tempter says, you forfeited this mercy. Conscience says, yes, I have. But the seat I would be at is the throne of grace, the mercy seat, where the Lord proclaims himself thus, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, slow to anger, abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. Then there is a plea. No self-justification, but full confession with the earnest desire for God's favour, for the voice from the mercy seat. The law covered, the incense covering and protecting you when you enter into the holy presence of the Lord God. Oh, that I knew where I might find him and come even to his seat with this providential straightness that has come to me, this straightening of providential circumstances. We have, in some ways, God has ordained these ways to prove that man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God doth man live. He has enough. You may be saying, if such and such a providence occurs, what shall I do? Where will supplies come from? He says, if I were hungry, I would not tell thee. The cattle on 1,000 hills are mine. The gold and the silver are mine. And you may, in your experience, just have come to this. This God I look to. I would be near to him with the hand of faith to receive what I need. And he might by his Spirit teach you this. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. There is relief at the throne of grace, relief in taking your needs there when you get there, when you can pour out your hearts there. There is great relief. Faith may get into her hand a supply before you see it literally. Many and many a child of God has found that. Faith sees a sufficiency in God. Oh, that I might find him and come to his seat. Next, with respect to temptation. Temptation, more or less, we must expect. Could the tempter try Jesus? Could the tempter try a tree so sound, so green? Good God, defend the dry. The word of Christ has great importance and gravity. Pray that ye enter not into temptation. Bunyan, after his deliverance from that great temptation, in reflecting upon it, felt that he had neglected the Lord's direction to pray that he might not enter into temptation. It is good to be favoured with grace and wisdom to follow Christ in that direction. Pray. Ask the Lord to keep you from temptation. Or if it please him to let you into temptation, or lead you to it, even as the Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness, then you may ask him to grant that when you are tempted, there may be no opportunity. It has been well said that if temptation and inclination and opportunity meet, woe be to the person in whom they meet. Pray that if God leads you into temptation, there may be no inclination and no opportunity. Grace will make us afraid of falling under temptation. Self-confidence led Peter into a sad experience of his weakness. I will go with thee, I will die with thee. The shock, if I may use the word, the tornado of temptation blew him off his feet. Who knows what we should do in temptation unless preserved? Oh, that I knew where I might find God. Ah, it were a well spent day if we could spend a day in asking the Lord to keep us from temptation or to preserve us in it. The tempter is beyond our power. His subtlety is beyond our knowledge. We need the Lord to keep us. We need him to say in his great mercy, he shall not shoot an arrow into this city. Blessed city which is defended thus by the Lord. Oh, that I could find God, to ask him to be with me when he takes the pains to put me into a crucible, a fiery trial. A fiery trial lays hold of the dross, the scum rises. Well, we do need God to keep us seeking his face at such a time. That I might come even to his seat. What would you do? Well, you would obey the Lord. In what? Pour out your heart before him. You would do it. Trust in the Lord. Pour out your heart before him. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face evermore. Well, what a mercy it is to be seeking God. A seeker under the influence and guidance of the Holy Ghost is sure to be a finder. In the end of this wonderful book, God came to Job, spoke to Job, dealt solemnly with him by question. Then Job said, I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear. Now mine eye seeth thee, wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. Well, may the Lord keep us seeking him. A congregation with a few seekers in it will be like having salt in it, and the soul that seeks God has the salt of grace in it. Grace moving, drawing, attracting, driving the soul after God. We may judge that God is driving us away from him if we judge by some of his dealings with us. If we judge God by what we see in general providence, we may get far from God and think that he is doing it. Asaph discovered his foolishness when the Lord took him in hand. Yea, when mercifully the Lord took him into the temple. If you judge God by what you see in providence, and by some of his dealings with you in your souls, you will come to wrong conclusions concerning him. But if you are enabled by faith to wait on him and ask him to open the door for you, to cause the gate to be opened at which you are looking for him, then you will find that the seeker is a finder eventually. May the Lord grant that we may not be strangers to this word if we have not got God with us. Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat. The Lord grant his goodness be with us. Amen.
Collections last Lord's Day amounted to £670, for which we are very thankful. And God willing, there will be anniversary services tomorrow, and Mr. Gilbert Hyde is expected to preach in the afternoon at 3 o'clock and evening at 6:15. Tea will be provided and the collections for the Needy Cases Fund. And there will be reading services next Lord's Day. Let us close with hymn 536. Behold a scene of matchless grace, 'tis Jesus in the sinner's place, heaven's brightest glory sunk in shame, that rebels might adore his name. 536.
Thank you.